So, Beis Tfile, Tav Shinayin Hei, Parshas Matas Masa, Rosh Chodesh, Av. So the parasha starts off. We've got Matos, Masay, and Tisha B'Av, right? All on one plate today. So, one at a time, right? Something from Matos, something from Masay, and Mitzvah Hashem, something from Tisha B'Av also. To start out with Matos, Matos starts out with the parasha of Nedarim and Shavuos. It starts out different to all other parashas in the Torah, as the Rashbam was asked. Right? It says, Vayedavru Moshe Reshem Matos Lipnei Yisrael Lemo Zeh Adavar Shetziva Hashem, and the parasha of Nedarim. So Moshe starts telling everyone about parashas Nedarim. Normally we start out with Hashem telling Moshe something first. At the end of it we say Moshe went and told Bnei Yisrael. So what happens over here? It's different. The Rashbam over here, first Rashbam in the parasha, says that the Rashbam said he was in a certain town. He was asked, why is this parasha different from all other parashas? And he said, a very Rashbamdika answer. Right, last week's parasha we say that when it's talking about the korbanos you bring, there's a word or two there. It says, bring all of these korbanos from the different Yom Tevim. Levad min nidreichem or nidvoisechem. This is besides any nedarim and nedavos. So you see, there's something called nedarim and nedavos. So you've got to explain to us what are nedarim and nedavos. Right, very Rashbamdika answer. And we go into the parasha of nedarim and nedavos. Now, nedarim and nedavos bichlal, nedarim and shvuos bichlal, have a very interesting place in the way we look at it. Is one supposed to do it or not supposed to do it? We find different things. It's a mitzvah, it's an isur. So there's a number of different sides to the story. There is a side that we don't play around with shavuos today because it says if you have all of these good midos, there's a pasuk which says, right, lists a whole lot of good things that a person's supposed to have, right? Dveikus v'Hashem and fear of Hashem v'kulu uvishmoi tishaveh. And it says that if you have all of these good midos, then you're right to swear in the name of Hashem, and it could even be a mitzvah d'oraisa to swear in the name of Hashem, but if not, then not. L'maaseh today, we stay very far away from it. There's another thing, it says by a nazir. Now, nazir is a type of a neder. It's brought up a lot in Nedarim and Shavuos. It's the same parasha. By a nazir, so we know that a nazir is called kadosh, and a nazir is called a chote. Right? On the one hand, is called being someone holy, on the other hand, is called a sinner. Right? So what is he? He's supposed to be a nazir, he's not supposed to be a nazir. Is he a kadosh? Is he a chote? How does it work? So, the simple tzad is that he's kadosh. Why says the Ibn Ezra over there? The Roiv HaOilom go after their tithers, right? Most people, they keep the halachas. He wasn't talking about people who are not from. They keep halachas. But besides for keeping halachas, what they're really interested in is having a good time. So they're busy running after their tithers most of the time. And this guy is going in the opposite direction. He's adding his surim to himself. And you can see that he's straining to grow. And Mimele Nikra Kadosh. On the other hand, Nikra Chote. So how do we look at someone? Why is he on the one hand a kodesh, on the one hand a chote? Now, there's the normal explanation. I'll say out the kitzur. It's not really what I wanted to get to over here. The normal explanation at one of the biurim that they say is al pi the Mesillas Yesharim. The Mesillas Yesharim Kiyudua breaks up his sefer into three basic sections. Okay, it's broken up into a whole lot of prakim. But the prakim in concept are divided into three sections: to be a tzaddik, to be a chassid, and to be a kaddish. Okay, what's the breakdown? A tzaddik is someone who worries about kiyum halacha, not more than that. He keeps the halacha, but besides that, leave me alone. I'll eat kosher meat, but I want three hamburgers for supper. Right? That's the mahalacha. He's not going to strain himself to try and give up on what is allowed in this world to try and achieve great hearts in Olam Haba. He does what he's commanded to do, and that's that. Then that, right? And in order to achieve the level of a tzaddik, so we start out with Zahirus, Zrizus, and Nikius. All of that is necessary to be a tzaddik. Right? You have to keep away from the loisaseh, the Zahirus, you have to do what you need to do, and you have to also be a bit honest about it. Nikius, right, talks about people don't really steal, but money kind of sticks to their hands somehow in certain deals. right? So Nikios is getting Zahiris and Zahiris and Zrizis right. Okay? Ad can to be a tzaddik. Next level is to be a chassid, right? What's the level of being a chassid, what the Ramchal calls a chassid, is someone who understands that it's worth exerting yourself in this world to achieve more in the world to come. So Mimeel HaKosib will go and find places where it's not really Chayiv, right? One of the classic mid of the Chosid is precious. And the precious is you understand, Beseder, you'll follow the Torah, you're okay. Right? In fact, you can be very into your taivas and not very into growth. Now Shane came, so the Chosid doesn't have his three hamburgers for Saturday night, he has one hamburger. Right? Eats a little bit less, uses a bit more time for learning, maybe a bit more energy for learning if it's not finished from three hamburgers and has to go straight to sleep. Right? So there's nothing wrong with eating, a big meal and going to sleep. The chassid tries to limit himself in olam hazeh, or to exert himself more and to achieve more. And because of that, there's an avoda of precious which is holding back from many things of this world. Right, there's precious, there's tyrant, these are all elements of precious. The Kaddish, on the other hand, says the Masilis Sharim, is so dovuk in Ruknias that when he eats his hamburger at night, so rather than him going down and becoming more physical by eating his hamburger, I'd rather he brings the hamburger up to him. And it says that when, right, this, it says that someone who brings meat to a Talmud Chacham, it's keli brought to Korban. Someone who brings wine to a Talmud Chacham, it's ke'ilu, he brought it on the Mizbeach, it's a nesach on the Mizbeach. Right? So in really you'll have three types of people. Right? The tzaddik is not interested in Ruchnias, so he just keeps halacha. As long as it's a kosher hamburger, it's fine. But he's having the hamburger, and he becomes very like the hamburger, a very physical being. The chassid wants to become spiritual, so he leaves out the hamburgers, right? He has a half a hamburger for supper, and he tries to spend more time learning, less time eating, and to become... That's very nice. And the Kaddish is something on a completely different level. He's so into Ruchnias that when he eats, he doesn't become like the hamburger. Adrabi makes the hamburger part of himself. The Sidushram says that's what happened with Yaakov, where the stones just wanted to be part of Yaakov. They all came together. Laya niyat tzadik rosho. Right? Because when Yaakov slept, it wasn't that he took a break from doing Ratzon Hashem and went down a little bit, became more physical. Adrabi, he made his bed into something holy. Right? And he made it, the stones wanted to be part of that. Yaakov, again, when we call Yaakov a tzaddik, we'll be calling him a tzaddik as opposed to a rasha. It always depends how you're looking. Right? Masha Enke. It's like you can look at Mr. Cohen and say, is he a Jew or a goy? We'll say, he's a Yisrael. Look at a Cohen Levi the Yisrael. So he's not a Yisrael, he's a Cohen. Depends what my record we're looking. Looking at Jews and Goyim, he's a Jew. Looking at Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim, he's not a Jew, he's a Kohen. Okay? So is Yaakov a tzaddik or a rosh? Is he tzaddik? Right? Is he a tzaddik or a chassid or a kaddish? So Yaakov is the middle tradition. Right? Now, where were we? Now, Mimela, let's look at our chassid over here. Right? First of all, let's look at our chassid. Where's he holding? So he's on the way. Halfway between a tzaddik and a kaddish is our chassid. And really, on the one hand, we can look at him and praise him. He's not like the tzaddik who goes home and has his three hamburgers, right? He learns his, whatever he does, he learns his bit, davens his bit, whatever his chayiv to do, goes home and has the hamburger and really becomes quite a physical thing. Our chassid, right, is... He's better than the Torah. Like the Ibn Ezra said, he's a holy person because he goes away from the Tavis and he's going, most of the world is going one way, he's going the other way. Very right, great. He's much bigger than the Torah. On the other hand, he hasn't learned how to use the world in a positive way. The Kaddish, right, he separates from the world. Right? When he eats his hamburger, it takes him down. So what does he do? He tries to eat as little hamburger as possible. Right? Rather eat black bread and eats as little as possible. Don't spend time eating, because when he eats it pulls him down. When he learns he goes up, and when he eats he goes down. So he doesn't know how to use this world in a positive way. Hashem and the Kaddish, when he eats, picks up the food to be like him instead of going down. So instead of the world being a negative for him, he turns the world into a positive. Right? The chassid is halfway. Look at him as right with, in regards to the tzaddik. So he's a holy person. He's got his eyes on ruchnis instead of gashmis. Right? Look at him and as opposed to the kadosh. Right? He doesn't know how to use this world in a positive way, and he mainly has to separate from it. Right? Really, what you should do is use this world in the correct way. Right? And in that way, you bring yourself up, you bring the world up also, like the Masudah Shom says. Right? And that's be'etzim what it says, that a Nazir is Nikra Kadosh, because he's better than most people. Nikra Choytesh, it's Siyar Atzmi Minayayim. What Hashem wants is not that we keep away from this world, but that we use it in the right way. Okay? Again, it's a thing that has a lot of balance in it, because Mufidah Ramchal, if I thought, you can't be the Kaddish until you've gone through the stages of being a Kaddish. Right? You can't be addicted to something and say, no, I'm only using it in the right way. Right? So first you have to be able to put the handbook down and go learn. Once you can do that, then it's shayach to... So first there's a stage of precious, that's a necessary stepping stone to getting to Kedusha. But al kol panim, he has our Nazir as a middle stage. And that's really where Nedarim and Shavuos come in, is that on the one hand, you're adding Yisurim and you're trying to build yourself up. On the other hand, really Hashem gets to do it other than Nedarim and Shavuos. Okay? And maybe we'll see more why in a second. Okay, so that's the normal Mahalach. I can't say out a Chiddush that came up this year without saying first what normal chat is. There's a very interesting Tzav Kabbalah over here, where he talks about, you do it to everyone who's been through Nedarim and Shavuos, the famous raid in Nedarim and Shavuos, right? Everyone knows. A Neder is the Isur Keftzer, right? A Shavuos is the Isur Gavra. Right? A Shavuos, we say, your person is Machayev himself to do something. Right? A person makes a Shavuos that is not going to eat a hamburger, we say, it's an action. He himself was Machayev himself to do or not to do something. Now, saying can a neder makes the thing into it's a gavi, it's a keftah. The Ksav HaKabbalah is looking to find it written in the psukim, and the place that he finds it, right? Again, this is not really what I wanted to go into, but the place that he finds it is the words of the Sukkah. Yesh ki yudu neder l'Hashem u'yishav v'shvur le'esor isor al nafshoi. Right? What is he doing? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, he's tying up his koyach habechira. Right? What's the tie? Le'esor is miloshen, le'esor malchein bezikim, that we say in Sukkot Zimra, which means to tie up, likshor. Right? Le'esor is to tie. So what are you tying over here? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, what a person's doing is he's tying himself up. Right? You're limiting yourself. Right, you were able to do everything. You make a shvur that you're not going to do something, you are going to do something. So you're limiting yourself. You're making more rules for yourself. And Mimela, from here, he finds it's a gavra, not it's a kefta. But his lashon, I wanted to bring one here, but I don't have it. His lashon is very interesting. He says that what a person does when he makes a neder or a shvur is he is shaylil from himself the koyach habechira. He takes away his bechira on a certain point. Okay? And everyone's going to tell me, what are you talking about? A person has bechira on everything, right? Bechira to keep the Torah, not to keep the Torah. Even after you've made a nedosh where you have bechira. Right? What's the answer? The answer is like everything, right? Is that everything is a question of pretty much like our Kohen Levi in Israel that we spoke about before. The question is, everything is a question of... English is gone. It's a question of degree. That's it, right? How much bechira you have? Says the Nefesh HaKaim. We know that Malach. On one hand, we see that Malachim don't have bechira, right? Angels don't have bechira, right? And Hashem created people because the whole point of this world is we have to give Kvod Shemaim. Kvod Shemaim doesn't come from beings who don't have bechira, forced to do something. People who could do or could not do when they choose to do, so that gives Kvod Shemayim. So Mimela, we need people who have Bechira. On the other hand, we find that Malachim have Bechira. What's the answer? It says in Nefesh HaChaim, I think it's in Ruach HaChaim maybe, that Malachim have Bechira, but he said to the thing is that the world's clear to them. Say, imagine there was a roaring fire in front of you, like Boim, all these big fires. Do you have Bechirat? If you wanted, could you jump in? Well, for sure you have Bechirat. If you really wanted to, you could jump in. You're a Baal Bechirat, you have Bechirat, you could jump in. Just the consequences are so clear and so that no one wants to do that. So how much Bechira do you have to jump into the fire or not? The way that I'm going to just say it out loud might not be 100% accurate, but you have very little Bechira Lagabe that. But there's not much choice, right? You know what's going to happen in one second. He said, by Malachim, to do Nei Hashem so they can see what the world is made of. They know that it's like jumping into a fire. So no matter, their level of Bechira is very, very low. But we do find that Malachim have done Chatzayim, we'll follow through history, and the thought is they have Bechira. Just why things are so clear for them that Mimela, their Bechira is very small. Now let's bring that same question down to people. It comes out as quite amazing. Right? Shabbos is coming. Chas v'shalom, does anyone have Bechira to go drive on Shabbos? Right? So, I mean, theoretically, yeah, you see people drive on Shabbos. Well, for a frum person, we're just talking about frum people. For a frum person to drive on Shabbos, who knows? It's a chiyuv skila. The Bechira to drive on Shabbos or not is very, very, very small. Go one step further to normal Yisroel, Yisroel Lav, not Yisroel Skila. The Bechira is Nebuch, a little bit bigger. Right? But still not. You know that. The Torah says you're not allowed to do something. You're not going to do it. You're going to eat outside your Sukkah and Sukkah. No one will do that. Right? Go even further out to something that's just a Rabbanon. What about something that's Rishus? How are you going to act so that as we go down in severity of Isur, the level of Bechira becomes bigger and bigger, right? And what comes out interesting is that when you get to Rishos, we know that the world is given to us to, we're supposed to have our eyes on the goal of coming close to Hashem, right? And everything in the world is to be used in that way. Some things, the guidelines are spelt out to us very clearly. There's no working on Shabbos. There's no, right, even if you think you've got a good deal and you'll learn more, there's no working on Shabbos. Things are spelled out very clearly. As you get further and further away from the big Ikarim, so there's more space to use the world in different ways. Divrei Rishus, so there's no real guideline. A person wants to eat less so that he has more time to learn or that he'll feel whatever. Sometimes dafka, a person will eat more and feel good and relax, and then he'll go learn with more koyach, and it's mutter. Sometimes it's even a mitzvah. Right? And there's no telling a person whether it's better to have a good meal and be relaxed and help, and then come and learn with all your koyach, or whether it's good to be a parish and to eat just a little bit so that it doesn't pull you out. Every person has to find the right way for himself, and there's no one right way. That's why it's called Divrei Rishus. Mimeli, right? There's a balance. People can find their own way over here, and there's no telling. Every person a different matzav, but sometimes one day this could be better, one day that could be better, for one person this could be better. That's Divrei Rishus. Hashem created this world, and He created us. Why do you need us for? He's got the Malachim. He created us because He wants Balei Bechira to serve Him. Where is our Bechira? On the big mitzvahs, our Bechira is very small. On the big Isurim, right? On Yom Kippur, our Bechira is very small. Yom Kippur is a very holy day. Is anyone going to do Malach on Yom Kippur? Our Bechira to do Malach there is very small. Our Bechira to eat to drink there is very small. Also, you're going to be in Shul anyway. Our Bechira to be in Shul on is very small. Right? But come home on Wednesday night, Kof Gimel, yeah, Teves, when nothing's going on, and how much you eat and how much you don't eat, your Bechira is very, very big. Right? So where do we have more Avodah Sa'adam? What Hashem created the world for was for a person to choose. Where does a person have more Bechira? It comes out an incredible thing that as we tend away from the mitzvahs, as we tend more and more into the realm of Rishus, where there's no tzibur, where there's no big Yisurim, there's no big Machayev, right? Someone falls in the street and they're bleeding and you run to say, no one would leave him, you don't have Bechira, right? Someone comes in and asks you, have you got 5 shekels to lend me? And you've got it in your pocket and you don't really want to give it to him and you're not sure if he'll remember to give it back and it's not in. There's a lot of Bechira over there. Right, the one act is a big act of saving someone's life, but the Bechira is very small. Everyone will do it. Over here, the Bechira is much bigger. It's much more Ma'aseh Adam. This is what Hashem created the world for, is that. It says in Ksav HaKabbalah, when a person makes a neder, he's sholel me'atmo koyach Bechira. Right? He took something that's Rishus. And because it's Rishut, so he was messing around with it too much, right? He was drinking too much wine. He was having, you know, one cup. There's no Isra in having one cup. Just if one cup leads to two and two leads to three, then you're in trouble. Well, the problem is you can never say no to the first one because there's no Isra Daraisa to have one cup. So Nazir makes the Isra Daraisa. He draws a line. He says, oh, the one cup is also. Right? That's what's brought down, the basic lamdas of, yeah? Of Nadarim and Shuas, is that you can draw a line and say it's a Isra Daraisa now. On the one hand, Nikra Kadosh, because instead of letting Rishus kind of be a vague area where you get led astray, he's drawing lines and taking new Isurim to grow. On the other hand, he's, in a way, he's killing himself. Because Hashem created people because he wants people to make decisions, he wants people to have the option, to have the Bechira, and from a matzav of having the option and having a Bechira to choose correctly. And Kol Kama that he takes on himself a Neder Isra, so it says of Kabbalah, he's Sholil Me'atzmoy Minus a Bechira. Right? The words are exact that I'm quoting. But he's really taking away from himself his Tzuras Adam to a certain extent. Right, and making himself love Baal Bechira or something. And Akram, it's not Mamish love Baal Bechira, right? Because he still has Bechira, but he's moving his Bechira to a much smaller level of Bechira. In a way, that's a choitzuk, because it's not what Hashem wanted from us in the world. Right? Etzim's, okay, I think the point is set out. And this is what comes out very sweet from here is that, you know, when you're at home in the middle of the year, Kof Gimel Teves, you know, no one's home and you've got a whole tray of hamburgers and you're supposed to eat as many as you want and then freeze the rest, right? That's the note that your wife left you, right? You eat what you want for supper and how many you're going to have and how many you're not going to have. Sometimes it's a bit hard for us on our level to have an appreciation for Avodas Hashem in that kind of situation. Mele Yom Kippur and Shul and everyone's in white, you know, so you can get into Avodas Hashem. But somewhere there, and really what comes out according to this is that Adraza, the more it's be'etzim, say the words, it's wrong, but the more it doesn't matter and the more no one can tell you you're doing anything wrong, so that's the ikum ma'ala sa'adam to choose over there. That's a very, very interesting nakuda. Okay, Adkan on that. That's for Parashas Matos. Now we'll go to Parashas Masay. Parashas Masseh starts off with something, I mean, a very, very, very interesting parasha also. These are the travels of Bnei Yisrael, left Mitzrayim, and Amasim Bnei Yisrael, and the Torah goes on and lists 42 places that they went to. Asks Rashi the obvious question, why bother writing this? Right? What do we need to know it for? A number of Pirushim over here. Rashi starts out, Lodia Chastei Hashem. Really, the Bnei Yisrael had a gzeira of, they were supposed to be in Golus, they were supposed to be wandering around in the Midbar. Right? So Rashi makes a cheshbon that 14 were before the gzeira, 8 were after the gzeira. Right? In 38 years that the gzeira was, so 14 were to get where they were going, and 8 were afterwards, like to get into Eretz Yisrael. Out of the whole 40 years in the desert, how many places did they go to? 20 places. Right? So that Xera epis to be wandering around, to be homeless, to be wandering around, and the master 20 places in 40 years. So now I know people are renting diras who've done a lot better than that, right? They're managing, you know, in 2 years to be in 20 places, right? So it's not so bad. V'yodeh chastei Hashem, hagam, that there was a Xera on them, didn't come out so bad. Says the Sforan over here, other way around. V'yodeh chastei klal Yisrael. They left the Hachareh B'midbar Ve'eretz Lo Zeruah. Right? How do we know? So here's the parasha. Right? It's a parasha. This is recovered Klal Yisrael telling the world, look what we did. We went from this place to this place to this place, all in the desert after Hashem, place with no water, no food, no nothing. This is the parasha of the Torah that's showing off Klal Yisrael left the Hachareh B'midbar Ve'eretz Lo Zeruah. Rashi then carries on to bring Moshel Lemelech, right? King who took his son to the doctor, he had to travel and travel. Afterwards, they were sitting around and they were saying, right, remember the way that we went over here, we were cold, over here we were hot, over here this happened, over here this happened. Pshat in Rashi, I don't know. Right? In Mitzvah Hashem, we should all get to 119 and be, you know, happily installed in an old age home. So the derech there is to sit around and say, you remember what it was like, yeah? Before Abutbul was in charge. right? You remember what it was like, right? Before all the major happenings of the world had happened, right? Before there was a Rama Yud Zayin, right? So you remember those days, right? And we remember when, right? So the Seder, that's what we do. Same people do when they're 119 years old and the Moshe's gaining. But what, HaKadosh Baruch has to sit with Klal Yisrael and say, remember what happened, this, that? I don't know. Okay. We'll say one or two more pshatim. Some people want to return. You can answer Rashi with them. Maybe, yeah. Says the Rambam that the nes of Klal Yisrael traveling in the desert was one of the biggest, the most impressive nesim we've ever had. Right? Take efforts between 3 million, 5 million, 25 million, whatever the shear is, people, take them to a place where there's no water, no, right? Like that beach we spoke about last week, right? They take them to a place with no water, no food, no nothing. And Hashem keeps them going over there for 40 years, right? Whole millions and millions of people in the desert. Said it's the most unbelievable ongoing miracle, right? And so I don't know what other miracle we've had, but on the scope of 40 years for millions of people in a place where there's no food and no water, it's an unbelievable thing. Says it's Yudua, that we reverse the Yomim, as time goes on, people will say, nah, they left Egypt, you know what they did? They kind of skirted the edge of the desert, they went from one Yishuv to another, they went from one oasis to another oasis, right? And they made a plan, you know, they had a good guide who knew where the water was, where the towns are, and that's how they made it through the desert, from one Yishuv to another Yishuv. And therefore, it says the Rambam, the Torah writes out exactly where they went, right? Because if you go there, you find these places, you go, look, it's the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of nowhere, again the middle of nowhere, again the middle of nowhere. They weren't going city to city. They weren't going, you know, oasis to oasis. They were going just from empty place to empty place, and, right, to show what the size of a miracle. So, I mentioned this Rambam to one of my chavrusas. So he said to me, he said, all of these places have names. Right? If you go to the middle of the Sahara Desert, right, and all you can see on all sides is dunes, so you don't have this dune is called this, and this one's called this, yeah, this one's Rimon Forest, and this one's called Piafiris, and this one. No, that's all a big piece of nothingness, there's no names. What are the names that we have? The names are either the cities or the rivers. Other than that, when there's nothing going on in the geography, there's no names. So what's going on over here? We have 42 names. They said, I think the names come from somewhere. It's a good question. So I think really that's what's going on. There's a Ksava Kabbalah. The Pasuk base says, Vayikto Moshe Esmoitzaehem Lamaseihem. Right? To travel and Moitzaehem L'choiz Meloshen Yoitze, right? Where they left, where they traveled to, it's a double Loshen. Ve'ele Maseihem L'moitzaehem. Right? These are their travels. What's Maseihem L'moitzaehem? Says the Ksava Kabbalah, Moitzaehem is Meloshen, Eis Kolat, which, Parashas Yitzroi, Eis Kolat La'a Hashem Mitzah Osam Baderech. Everything that happened to them. Right? Mitzah Osam over there means the happenings. Right? That happened to them. All the tlaot which happened to them on the way was told to Yitzroi. So over here, Eile Maseihem L'Motoyehem, it says the Masois don't have names. The places they went to didn't have names. Right? How can we give a name to the places that they camped? So it's the middle of nowhere. You know what? Everyone is called after something that happened. Right? In the middle of nowhere, the only way it gets a name is by what happened. If you look in the Bala Turim as we go through the list, so the Bala Turim, do I have one here? Yes, I've got a Bala Turim here. Right? Goes through all of them and says, B'dafka shom dafak libam, shloya lehem lechem. Alush, they got the man, biskus, lushi vasi ugois. Risma, there was a maraglim. It says Gachale Rasamim, Loshon Hara is called Gachale Rasamim, is Risma, Risa, Shinitrosis Lusham, Kailasa, Vayakel Aleim Koirach. Every place has a name, but the name is not due to the place. The name is due to what happened over there. That's what happened. The Malbim over here says that a very nice mahalach. I'd say it's pretty similar in a way to Rashi. But he says that the reason Bnei Israel spent 40 years in the Midbar, right, wasn't because they needed 40 years to get to Eretz Yisrael. He said they needed 40 years to leave behind all of the negative influences that they picked up in Mitzrayim. Right? He says, a marshal, imagine we have someone, he says, who lives on the equator. Okay? He gets a good job in computers. Where? On the North Pole. Okay? So, great, he's got a very high-paying job, and he has to go live with, yeah, northern Finland somewhere. And fine, very nice. So he's, you know, he's got his loincloth on, and his right, and his big sun hat, and that's it, he's going north. So he goes past the family doctor, and he says, any advice for me before I go? He says, the family doctor, yes, I've got a lot of advice for you. He says, the way to go is like this, you don't just walk north. He says, you walk 100 kilometers north, you stop in a town, and you wait there for a month. Right, then from there, you go another 100 kilometers north, you camp there for another month. Then you go another 100 kilometers north, it's already, you wait there for 2 months. Right? And slowly, slowly, your journey has to be broken up into stages and stages, and slowly, slowly, your body will get acclimatized to the cold. You can't take someone out of the tropics and put them in the North Pole and expect them to survive. You have to, right? You have to, in a way, your body is used to the heat, right? You have to let the teva that your body is used to out of it slowly, 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 and as your body gets used to surviving without this kind of input of heat or whatever, so then fine, you can go to the North Pole, but slowly, slowly. And he says that the doctor writes out a prescription, right? And there's a prescription of traveling. You travel first year. It says the Malbim, it says the point of all of this, the first Masa is to go out of Mitzrayim. The rest of them are all where they're going. It says, no, these are the journeys of Bnei Yisrael who are leaving Egypt. All 42 journeys were the stages of leaving Egypt. That's going on all 42. All 42 were stages of leaving Mitzrayim. Right? The Yad Moshe Aaron, they're the doctors, and they're telling them exactly, he said, they wrote out a prescription of step by step by step what you need to do to leave Mitzrayim. Says the Malbim, these are the journeys of the Jews, to take them out of Egypt. Right? Lemoitzoyehem is taking out. So we made it, these are the steps that they had in leaving the Tumah of Mitzrayim. And it carries on, it's very sweet, the Hemshech. Ramses, when they left Ramses, yeah, you even have to give a date. When did they leave Ramses? The Chodesh HaRishon b'Chamishasar Yom LaChodesh HaRishon. Why? Because we know the Chodesh HaRishon is Mazel Tzleh, which was the Avodah Zarah of the Mitzrayim. And the middle of the month is when the moon is full, that's considered the, you know, right in the middle of the month is considered the heart of the month. The greatest power of Mazel Tzleh, right? That's when they had to leave Mitzrayim, because the whole point of all of these journeys was to walk out of, to leave behind the bad teva that they had in Mitzrayim, and Mimela from there to be Nasir, 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 slowly, slowly, until they left enough of Mitzrayim behind that they were able to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's very not the style of the shiur, this next little bit, but it's too good to move that around. Right? This is Mamash. There's, over here, I was also thinking, I don't know how much they pay the rabbi, right? But whenever you pay the rabbi, you should pay him more. Because people don't appreciate what a rabbi goes through. Right? And now listen to the Malbim story. Okay? There's a Rav Shimshon Ostropola, okay, was a Kabbalist of note. And he wrote a number of things which were very clever and some of them very, very, very deep and very hard to work out. One of them was the following, okay? Now, last year when I found this, I enjoyed it a lot, I looked for it on Eitzer HaChochma and I couldn't find it. So I don't know where his book is. I found the whole Maamar brought in the Pirush on certain Haggadahs. Some Haggadahs have this thing written out, I think just before Dayenu, just after Dayenu, they bring it in like the footnotes on the Pirush on the Haggadah, they bring it and they bring a Pirush on it. Usually the Pirush that they bring is from over here. But either way, right, there's this Maimer Pliya, this amazing thing that Rav Shimshon Ostropoda writes. Right? And there's a skula to say it based on a gefer. The Zeh Token Dvarav. I don't have the original here. I don't have the exact thing. I'm saying out be'erech what he writes. Okay? And Adrava, we'll stop for a second. Anyone who can tell me pshat over here, I'll be impressed. When Bnei Yisrael, Kashinosumi Ramses, when Bnei Yisrael left Ramses, okay, what problems do they have? Lo Yadu. Im Yisu le Sukkos, or le Kailasa, or le Moseros. They didn't know, should they go to Sukkos, to Kailasa, or to Moseros. Now, that's like number 2, number 7, and number 37 on the list. Right? I didn't check exactly which numbers. But there's no, it's not like number 2, 3, or 4. It's Mamash. V'omer Hashem sheyitzu le Sukkos. Okay, so now they're in Sukkos. Now what's the next question? Lo yodu im yitzu le Esom, or le Chatzeros, or le Sorach, or le Etzion Gavim. Those were the four options now. Right? V'omer Hashem sheyitzu le Esom. Lo yodu im yitzu le Piachiros, or le Rimon Paretz, le Evroino, or le Hara Avarim. Hara Avarim was one of the last ones. I think it's number 41. Right? Maybe it's even number 42. It's just before going into Eretz Yisrael. It's Mamish right by Moyov. Right? Just before going into Eretz Yisrael. So Mamish, the third one, they hadn't even got the Torah yet. Okay? They hadn't gone to Har Sinai yet, but they thought maybe they should be on the border of Eretz Yisrael already in Hara Avarim. But those were the choices that they had. The Yadu im Yisrael Piachiros, the Ruman Paretz, La Evrona, La Haravarim, V'amene Hashem Shiyusul Piachiros. Okay, now from Piachiros, Lo Yadu im Yisrael Mora, La Tachas, La Arvus Moyav, sorry, we just did that, La Arvus Moyav, V'chein Hoyle Kola Maimer V'unitpas. Right, it carries on and on and on like this. They didn't know at every stage they had a whole lot of choices. They didn't know which choice to take, and Hashem told them this one, right? The next step, they didn't know. They had another three choices, the next stage, another three choices. And the choices are random, like, are very hard to find any kind of say in the choices, right? And it carries on and on and on like that all the way through. Okay? Now, the Malbim says, why did it say that you don't pay your rabbi enough, or any rabbi enough, can you hear? He says, the Malbim says, he went to a place called Charsa, right? And they came to him and they asked him, right, you know, new rabbi comes to town, what are you going to do? He said, Shalom Aleichem, you need something. They came to him and they said, what pshat in Rav Shimshon Ostropoda? Right? That was the question that he got. Okay? And he's expected to tell them pshat in what's going on over there. Okay? I think that's, if that's what we expect from them, we should pay them more. I don't know what you're paying them. Anyway, says the Malbim, right? Listen to what he says. This is his answer. He says, it's brought down in the Svarim that the Mem-based Masoris, I didn't look it up this year. I've got a vague memory that Rav Yaakov Eidus talks about it in Divrei Yaakov, in the Parsha. He's got it in Parsha Shavua. So I think over there he talks about the Mem-based Masoris. He talks about the Svarim say that the 42 journeys are something that every person goes through in his life, and it's very important to learn them up and to understand the process, and it's a skula number one for learning the lessons that you need to learn through going through all these places. So in all ways you can learn something in theory or you can learn it in practice. It's always easier to learn it in theory, right? And he says over there that it's much better if you can learn it and kind of get the musa and take what you need to take from these different places just by learning it, rather than, you know, Hashem having to slip you around and learning through life experience. Now, Kulpanim says, it's brought down in the Svarim that the Mem-based Masoros of Klal Yisrael is connected the same Mem-based of Hashem. Right? You know, there's a Shem with 42 letters. Now, what's the Shem Mem-based of Hashem? Right? Any ideas where we're going to find the Shem Mem-based? Try and work this out. Someone from the Shabbos here. So, Shem Mem Beis is spelled out in all the Sidurim, we say just before Shabbos comes in, Ana B'Koyach, right? Ana B'Koyach Tuvasim Incha, and I needed an art scroll, the other Sidur didn't have it. But here's your Ana B'Koyach, and over here, the Rosh Tevis, it's six words per line, and 7 times 6 is 42. And no matter over here, we have the same mem base, right? Broken up into words of 3, 3, and over here it's the same mem base. Says the Malbim, so, and it's written in the books that the Masai is connected to the same mem base. Says the Malbim, so according to that, it all works out, right? For anyone who hasn't got it yet, so we'll carry on and explain. It says like this. That, okay, so let's look at the Shemim base. So we have 42 letters over here, okay? So if we take the 42 Masoos and we wrote them out, each one would correspond to a letter, right? Last year I did this, my Chavrut is actually Ayak, I didn't have to do it, he did it, right? He wrote out the 42 Masoos, and he wrote out the Aleph base next to, and you'll see an interesting thing, right? Ono Berkoya, so let's say the first place, Ramses. So Ramses is keneged Ono. Ramses in some way is keneged an Aleph, right? And from Ramses they went to Sukkos. Sukkos is keneged a base, right? And we spell out the Shem Hashem in some way. They went from Ramses to Sukkos, and that spelled out an Aleph and a base of the Shem Mem base. But if you carry on through Ono Berkoyach, you'll see Baruchem Taharim. There's another base, which means there's another place which is also connected a base. And we carry on later, Chasen Kodesh Beroiv Tukha. Beroiv Tukha, there's another base. So if you make the list of all the places connected all the letters, there are going to be three or four places which are connected a base. The Mela Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, understood that they were spelling out Shem Hashem and had in some way with their actions to make the Shem Mem base of Hashem. But they didn't know how to spell out the Shem Hashem. It's Poshut. The way you spell the Shem Hashem is Aleph, then a base, then a Gimel, then a Yud, then a Tav, then a Tzadi. Are there many places which are connected a base in whatever way that Sukkos was connected a base? Alright, if you go down to Baruchem is connected another place that's also connected a base. Mimela, when they left Ramses, Lo Yodu Yitzu Lo Sukkos, which is connected a base, Oy Likei Laso Elamaseros. There are three places which, if you line up all the places, connected all the letters, those will all come out connected a base. Right? Once they're finished with that, so then you're on to Gimel. You need Aleph base Gimel. Right? Gdulas. You also have No Gibor, and Yochid Geyo, and Tomid Gomlein. I think those are the three Gimels. So altogether you've got four Gimels. Mimela, they went to Sukkos. When they were in Sukkos, they didn't know if they had to go to Esom, Chatzeres, Torah, or Etzion Gavur. All of these are the three Gimels. They're three places where the site of that place is a Gimel. They didn't know which Gimel they had to go to. And Mimela, and so it carries on. And that's why by the fourth one, right, Yemincha is a Yud, right? And we also have Yodea Talumus right at the end. So they weren't sure, do they need this Yud, or do they need the Yud of Arvos Moyav, which was number 41 on the list? Right? Poshut, all they were doing was spelling out Shem Hashem over here. There was no other thing that they were doing, different places. It could have been there to go all the way to the border of Eretz Yisrael, spell out the Yud and Shem Hashem over there, and then come back somewhere else. Right? That was their plan of, right? That was what they had in their GPS over there. That's what they had to do. And Mimela, that's the Cheshbon. Right? Says the Malbim, that's what the Pasuk means. We had a Pasuk a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Baaloischa. Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. So what do you need to say three times? Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Right? Elo what? He says, Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, is that Lefi the Shem Hashem, they traveled and they stopped because they were spelling out the Shem Hashem. So Al Pi Hashem Yisu, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu. They're trying to spell out the different aspects of this name. But what? But they didn't know how to spell it because there's different bases, there's different gimels, there's different yuds. Right? Elo what? Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Every time they had the suffix, they didn't know what to do. They had to ask Moshe, and he had to tell them which place, which base they had to go to, which gimel they had to go to, which yud they had to go to. Right? Mimela Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. He said, that's pshat that the Nesrael in the desert went, Al Pi Hashem Biyad Moshe. Also Pi Hashem, also Biyad Moshe. Okay.